Before the next speaker, I just want to make a very quick comment related with immune stains. In liposarcoma, the positivity is just in lipoblast, and is negative, the S100, in the mature cells, the adipocytes. And for example, in malignant schwannoma, the positivity is in Schwann cells, is nuclear positivity and cytoplasmic positivity, and it's very important to separate both entities. Okay. Let's move to the next speaker. Is Gustavo Novais from Brazil, and his topic is an unusual conjunctival recurrence.
Good afternoon. My name is Gustavo. Well, I'd like to thank first the organization for the invitation. And it's a good opportunity to see everyone back together and, like me, where a lot of things started. So today I'm going to present just one case. I'm going to let you look at the picture while I talk about the history. This is a 60-year-old Caucasian female that comes with a complaint of a pigmented lesion that's been growing for the last months. Yeah, that's important because I don't see anything in the slides as well. So when we look here, the patient said then she started realizing when she was wearing the makeup because she pulls out the lid and she sees this pigmented lesion. So, and when we take a close look, we can see that we have a nodular, elevated, well-circumscribed lesion, which is not mobile. And we also see a few feeder vessels and some pigmented around. So when we have a suspicious lesion like this in this unusual location, it's very important to remove the lesion and see what we can find. And when we remove the lesion, the standard of care, and I put this on purpose on capital letters, we have to do an excisional biopsy. So we try to remove the whole tumor at once. And the standard technique is to do a wide margin, dry, no-touch technique. If the tumor is adherent to the superficial sclera, we can do a superficial sclerectomy, and we also use absolute alcohol, and we remove the epithelial if the cornea is involved. We also apply cryo to the conjunctival margins, and then we cover the defect with amygdala membrane. It's very important that everything that you take off the eye, we send to the pathology, so that's what we did. So when we look here, we can appreciate in this H&E, lower magnification, the nodular tumor, and we can appreciate that the margins are free. And if we take another look in the H&E with a higher magnification, we can see this highly cellular tissue with a lot of pleomorphism and some degree of severe atypia. And then when we look another H&E cut, we can appreciate the tumor again. And important in this slide, we can see the epithelial component. We can see those nests of melanocytic proliferation, which is very important in the orange of those lesions. And then when we do specific immunohistochemistry, like this one for melan A, we can appreciate that the tumor stains strongly and the epithelial component stains as well. So because of this, we could give the diagnosis of the conjunctival melanoma. So what we do? We follow the patient. Patient comes one, two, a few follow-ups, and then gets lost. And then after 2 years, she comes by, and she complains about a lesion in the kind of the same site. Whenever we have a conjunctival melanoma, we have to be aware that even though we don't think this is scar tissue, even though it can look like a pathogenic granuloma, if we take a better look, we can see that this lesion is a little bit higher. There's a lot of vascularization and doesn't have the clinical appearance that the pyogenic granuloma, more reddish, we don't see the vessels that well. So what we do again, if we have a patient with history of conjunctival melanoma, we don't want to play around. So we remove the lesion again. And when we look again, we can see in the lower magnification of H&E, we see this nodular tumor. The picture is not as clear as in my screen, but once again, we use immunohistochemistry with specific markers, here again melan A, and we can see that the tumor cells stains beautifully with those. And then another section, a little bit higher magnification, we can see this high cellular tumor again with pleomorphism and some atypia, and we can appreciate again the epithelial component of the tumor, and we see that when we use again the stains, all of them stain, even the epithelial component and the substantia propria component of the tumor. So just to illustrate, today we're going to talk a little bit of conjunctival melanoma and just a few facts so we start talking about recurrence. Even though conjunctival melanoma is a rare tumor with 0.2 to 0.8 in a million, it's still the second most common conjunctival malignancy. And it corresponds for 1.6 of the non-cutaneous melanoma. And we know that most of the times it arises from a primary acquired melanosis lesion. And it's a very aggressive tumor with around 26% of metastasis and up to 30% of mortality in 10 years. So when we talk about recurrence, today I'm going to just present just a few papers so we can have an idea of what happens. Norgaard studied 55 patients, and he demonstrated that 35% recur at 5 years and 43% at 10 years. And when we look at Shields in a tertiary center studying 150 patients, he showed that 26 recur at 5 years and 51 in 10 years. So that's a nice data, because if you follow the patient for 10 years, you're going to see that half of them are going to recur, even in a tertiary center with all the right treatment. And to finish, this one from Mizotin, study 194 patients and had a higher recurrence rates of 61 in 5 years and 67 in 10 years. So when we evaluate recurrent disease, we have to think about two different kind of risk factors, the clinical one and the histopathological one. So starting with the clinical one, according to this paper of Shields, I think it's a very good paper, and it kind of matches our case. If you have a non-limbar tumor, it's very important, especially if it's a 2 or more millimeters away from the limbus, like our patient. Also, involvement of the superior quadrant is important. And if you have an association with extensive area of primary acquired melanosis, especially more than 7 to 9 hours, it's also associated with higher recurrence. And like our case, not the primary, but the secondary, because of the delay in the diagnosis when you have a lesion which is not classically pigmented and it's not classically in the limbo like usually conjunctival melanoma presents, we also have delay in diagnosis and you can have more recurrence because of that. And also corneal involvement greater than 2 millimeters is another risk factor. When we go to the PATH, we need to know why it's important, not only because Dr. Bournier is here, but the PATH is very important, actually. We always have to evaluate the margins because that makes a lot of difference in the recurrence rate, metastasis rate, and even the mortality. So it's good the pathologists, we can sleep a little bit better if we know that the lateral margins are clear. So if we look at some other factors like tumor thickness, thicker tumors, cell type like epithelioid cell, mixed type, or deeper invasion of the tumor, we know that those are very important for recurrence. And again, once you have the histopathology, you have the tissue, you can also do the immunohistochemistry with specific markers to confirm the melanocytic nature of the tumor. So again, when we face a patient with a history of conjunctival melanoma, and you see, because the melanoma is a great mimic, either in the primary tumor and either in the recurrence. It can be, first it can recur in some other place, so it's important to examine the patient, avert the lids, palpate the lymph nodes, and so on and so. And even the appearance of the tumor can be a little different, so it's important not to get burned. You need a high suspicion for any new lesion, any new pigments in the eye. And it's very important, again, that, like Dr. Bournier has to eat, so we have to do PATH, immunohistochemistry, just to confirm the nature of the tumor. So it's very important, just summarizing that, all suspicious lesions we should remove and we should send to pathology, and we should follow the patient closely and carefully with frequent eye exams and thorough eye exams, the whole surface and the lids, and we have to have a low threshold for any new lesions, and we have to think that. And we have to realize, like I said, recurrence, they can look different from the primary tumor, either the site or the appearance and the pigmented, the color of the tumor. So that's basically what I wanted to say. But I just want to say one thing. We always hear that there's a lot of people, they say they talk to God, they are so and so, but I think only a few people have the guts to talk to the sun. And I think Dr. Bournier is one of them. And when I look at him, I always think it's like he asked the sun to borrow its shyness so he could shine and illuminate more people and the most important, letting people shy too. Thank you.
Any question or comment? Dr. Sarnil?
Hi.
Hello.
My question is, you plan, after being the pathology the first time and the second time, to use any adjunctive therapy?
To be honest, the first time mitomycin was used. The second time, we only excised the tumor and the margin was free. So we didn't think it was necessary to use, but because we didn't see any scleral invasion, because sometimes we can use radiotherapy, local BRAC therapy, but in this case we didn't use. I know with melanocytic lesions, amelanotic, it's hard sometimes to define clinically the margins. That's one of the reasons that a lot of people get positive margins when they excise the tumor, but in this case the margin was free, so we didn't do anything else. But of course we have to.
We use to treat this type of tumors, and when you see the slide with the smallness in the epithelium, you can guess that even if you clinically cannot observe nodules, you have cells waiting for the.
That's one of the reasons actually that we use the mitomycin, and there are a few points about the color of the tumor. I don't know if we should get in there.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Gracias.